Today, homeless, renters punished, and Perth is worse than Sydney. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, Rob Notice Post, covering finance and property news. Last week, I published a show titled The Rental Stress Pips Are Squeaking, where I did a deep dive into the rental stress across the country to underscore the crisis we have in the rental sector. I called it the hidden crisis because we get massive coverage of mortgage stress in the mainstream media, but rental stress, not so much. To underscore the crisis, new modelling from Impact Economics and Policy, that's a group of expert economists and policy specialists, estimates that back in 2022, as many as 3.2 million people were at risk of homelessness across the country, where one negative shock could result in them losing their home. This represents a 63% increase since 2016 to 2022 in the number of Australians at risk of homelessness. The analysis attributes the rising number of people experiencing housing stress to record low vacancy rates, increasing weekly rents, and the overall increase in the cost of living. In September 2024, just 1.3% of all rental properties across the country were available for rent. That's a 57% drop from the start of the pandemic. This represents a roughly 36,000 decrease in vacancies over the past 4 years, despite high migration. This has resulted in many renters having to move in with relatives, couch surf, live in shared accommodation, or even sleep in their cars. A recent survey showed that 39% of specialist homelessness services had to close their doors to people seeking help because they were unable to cope. With the homelessness services unable to cope, despite the increase in people needing help, not enough is being done to assist them. And many are not actually even seeking help because they know they won't get through. Demand for homelessness services has erupted, and the system is so under-resourced that people who are homeless can't get in front of a worker who can help them, Homelessness Australia Group CEO Kate Colvin said to the ABC. The additional impact of high rents has also put pressure on households, with weekly rent increasing by 45% over the same period, a difference of $190 per week. That's enough to push many renters, especially low-income earners, into financial stress. And to confirm that, SGS Economics and Planning released the 10th edition of their Rental Affordability Index today, which shows that since 2015, rental affordability has declined in most cities, limiting where people can live and work and reshaping communities nationwide. Once affordable areas like southwestern Sydney and southeast Melbourne are now increasingly out of reach for average rental households. Their analysis, which is based on a different approach to mine, aligns with what I've been reporting. They say that this year's data confirms that the private rental market is failing to deliver the affordability that many desperately need, especially those on low incomes. As wages struggle to keep pace with rents, the implications for productivity, public health, and economic resilience have become clear. Emma Greenhow, former CEO of National Shelter, said the index provides clear evidence of the spatial implications of how housing costs shape our cities and regions, with impacts for staff attraction and retention, economic productivity, as well as health and well-being. The index report warns the introduction of the capital gains discount in 1999, coupled with negative gearing, has dramatically increased the number of investors who compete with homeowners for available property, keeping more households out of home ownership and trapping them into the rental market. It says investors have pushed out would-be homeowners, so more households with middle to high incomes are renting for longer, which pushes up rents and displaces lower income renters even further. In fact, Perth has become the least affordable capital city in Australia, with low income renters facing the harshest impacts of the crisis. Single job seekers and part-time workers on parenting payments have been the hardest hit, with every capital city and rest of state area now severely unaffordable for them, with pensioners and single parents not far behind, finding almost everywhere unaffordable. Their analysis uses the 30% of gross income going on housing as a metric, which of course followers of this channel will know I think is a bit simplistic, and it's a misleading way of assessing the problem. Indeed, when I look at net cash flow measures, around 76% of renters have a stress problem. Remember that the tax take and living costs have risen significantly in recent times, which is why a net cash flow approach is a more accurate representation of what is going on the ground. Nevertheless, they create a score called the RAI. This uses the 30% of income rule. Rental affordability is calculated using the following equation. RAI equals income over qualifying income times 100, where qualifying income refers to the income required to pay the rent, where rent is 30% of income, meaning qualifying income equals rent over 0.3. Households paying 30% of income on rent have an RAI score of 100, indicating these households are at the critical threshold level of housing stress. A NIDAC score of 40 or below indicates critical unaffordable rents, with households paying 75% or more of their income on rent, whereas an RAI score above 100 means households are paying less than 30% of their income on rent, which is outside the threshold for housing stress. And they included, for the first time this time, a category of critical unaffordable rents, where 75% or more of income is spent on rent. Now, they looked at cohorts across the country. For example, for a single person on job seeker payments, their estimated gross annual income is around $24,723 a year. And they found that rents are extremely too critically unaffordable in all metropolitan and regional areas for this household, who is solely reliant on job seeker payments and rental assistance, and would require an income almost five times the current level to move into the affordable band. Greater Sydney and Greater Perth are the most unaffordable capital cities, with RAI scores of 22 and 23 respectively, meaning they are critically unaffordable. For a single pensioner with an estimated gross annual income of $39,429, those households face unaffordable to critically unaffordable rents, for the most part living in metropolitan areas where one-bedroom dwellings are most numerous, would require 50% or more of the pensioner's income to be spent on rent, with only Greater Adelaide and Greater Hobart marginally below that threshold. For single pensioners, Greater Sydney and Greater Perth are the least affordable capital cities to rent in, with RAI scores of 35 and 36 respectively. Both are classified as extremely unaffordable. Renting a one-bedroom dwelling at the median rate in those cities would require over three-quarters of total income, leaving little for other essential living expenses and discretionary spending. In Sydney and Melbourne, almost all suburbs are now considered severely unaffordable or extremely unaffordable. The most affordable areas, albeit severely unaffordable, are furthest from services key to this cohort. High levels of public transit services and healthcare, for example. Even a pensioner couple on an estimated gross annual income of $62,639 a year came out as extremely unaffordable to severely unaffordable in metropolitan areas and severely unaffordable or acceptable in regional areas. Regional South Australia is the only location with acceptable rents, while other regional areas across Australia have unaffordable to severely unaffordable rents. Most areas within a 10-kilometre radius of the Sydney CBD are extremely unaffordable to pensioner couples who would need to pay over 50% of their total income if renting at the median rate. The spatial pattern of affordability has changed little in the past year, actually. Several other costs, including healthcare associated with ageing, may add to their financial pressure. The need for walkable access to transport, local shops and services may also limit this household's ability to choose an appropriate location to live in. Other household cohorts were also analysed in this report, from students through to married couples with kids, but the story of deteriorating affordability is pretty consistent. In New South Wales, rent affordability is worse in 2024 than in 2014. Rents in Greater Sydney have risen 48.5% since 2014, from a weekly average of $485 to $720. Rents in regional New South Wales have increased 70%, from a weekly average of $300 to $510. Across Victoria, rental affordability is worse in 2024 than in 2014. Rents in Greater Melbourne have increased 52.8% since 2014, from a weekly average of $360 to $550. Rents in regional Victoria have increased 66.7%, from a weekly average of $270 to $450. And since 2014, the average annual income has increased 41.9% in Greater Melbourne and 49.3% in regional Victoria. There are similar patterns in some other states too. For example, across Queensland, rental affordability is worse in 2024 than 2014. Rents in Greater Brisbane have increased 56.8% since 2014, from a weekly average of $389 to $610. Rents in regional Queensland have increased 75.5%, from a weekly average of $346 to $607. But since 2014, the average annual income has increased just 36.7% in Greater Brisbane and 40.3% in regional Queensland. Across South Australia, rental affordability is worse in 2024 than in 2014. Rents in Greater Adelaide have increased 69.4% since 2014, from a weekly average of $310 to $525. And regional South Australian rents have increased 52%, from a weekly average of $250 to $380. Since 2014, the average annual income has increased 48.8% in Greater Adelaide and 41.8% in regional South Australia. Western Australia shows a bit of a different trend in that despite affordability having been better now than a decade ago, 2024 still marks a period of depressed affordability in regional Western Australia. In 2014, the state was still recovering from a period of unaffordability resulting from rising housing costs during the resources boom. By June 2015, rental affordability had improved considerably in regional Western Australia with an RAI score of 133. Compared to 98 in June 2014. In fact, rental affordability remained above 130 for the next 7 years, peaking at 162 in 2019 before declining rapidly during the pandemic years. Rents in Greater Perth have increased 43% since 2014, from a weekly average of $440 to $630, and rents in regional Western Australia have increased 13%, from a weekly average of $505 to $572. Since 2014, the average annual income increased by 33.3% in Greater Perth and 32.5% in regional Western Australia. In Greater Hobart, rental affordability is the same in 2024 as in 2014, but in regional Tasmania, rental affordability is worse in 2024 than 2014. Rents in Greater Hobart have increased 69% since 2014, from a weekly average of $290 to $490. Regional Tasmania's rent has increased 13%, from a weekly average of $235 to $400. And since 2014, the average annual income has increased 68.9% in Greater Hobart and 62.1% in regional Tasmania. In the ACT, rental affordability is marginally worse in 2024 compared with 2014. Rents in the ACT have increased 43.4% since 2014, from a weekly average of $415 to $595. Since 2014, the average annual income has increased 42.8% in the ACT. Now, this report lands as the Albanese government struggles to get support to pass two key housing bills, dismissing a last-minute offer from the Greens as being more about politics than progress. In relation to the Homelessness Australia report, a spokesperson for Minister O'Neill said that the government was investing $1.2 billion in crisis housing for women and children. This investment is around 20 times more than the investment in the decade prior, the spokesperson said. And of course, Labor is entering the final two parliamentary sitting weeks of the year with its Help to Buy bill and Build to Rent bill both bogged down. Help to Buy would see government co-purchase houses with 40,000 first home buyers on low incomes, but has been criticised by the Greens for being a small target policy. After voting against it for several months, the Greens recently offered their support of Help to Buy if Labor promised to immediately fund more homes under the Housing Australia Future Fund. The Greens said they would also vote to pass the Build to Rent legislation if the government increases the minimum number of affordable tenancies in the scheme to 30% of dwellings in each development. Asked whether the government would consider the Greens' offer, Housing Minister Claire O'Neill did not directly answer, telling the ABC the Greens were politicking. With the Greens, it's always about politics, she said. If they were serious about getting an outcome, they'd talk to us, not drop out proposals via the media. And this is the problem we've got. Housing and housing affordability is a national crisis. And yet the politicians are playing politics with it. This is a disaster. And as a result of this, we're going to find more people homeless. We're going to find more people spending a greater share of their income on finding just anywhere to live. And I think we're going to see more people bounce from the rental sector to try and buy a property at a time when interest rates are high and the supply of quality properties is quite low. This crisis needs a completely different approach, not the incrementalism that we're seeing from the Labor government and not the politics that we're seeing from the Greens. Shame on them. The bottom line is, real Australians are being caught in the headlights here. And more and more people are going to get homeless. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.